B-Pod Studios.
We got a guest here, and we better get to him fast or he may die. Retirement age may be 65, but don't tell that to a man who lives in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania. Milton Garland is on the phone. Hi, Milton.
Okay.
How are you?
Fine.
Tell everybody how old you are.
I'm 102 years old.
God bless you. And for 77 years, you've been a refrigerator engineer?
It's 70 years exactly. 77, yes.
What exactly is a refrigerator engineer?
Since 1920.
Unbelievable. What do you do? What kind of job is that? You refrigerators?
We're strictly in industrial refrigeration, ice making plants, breweries, dairies, and the chemical industry, all the heavy industrial work, food freezing.
Wow.
Everything of that sort.
Boy, the microwave oven must have been something when you first saw that, huh?
Yes.
What about electric light? That must have been a kicker.
Oh, yes.
What do you remember about those early days?
Well, in those particular days, one of the major things we were doing was installing ice-making plants as well as installing food freezing plants, cold storages.
And Milton, how's your health? I mean, to be working at 102, you still got to be feel pretty good.
Oh, yes, I feel good.
Mm-hmm. What about family? You got a lot of family?
Well, I just have a daughter and a son, and they're both in California.
Mm-hmm. No,
They both retired now?
Yeah, they got to be retired, too, aren't they?
Yes, they're both at retirement age.
What about no grandchildren?
Oh, yes. I have a great-great-grandchild just a short time ago.
Well, that's absolutely fantastic. What do you remember? What was the first car you bought? What was the first car you drove?
It was an Oakland. That's made by General Motors.
Mm-hmm. Who was the first president you voted for?
Oh, I can't know that I remember too well. I didn't start to vote until I started to live here in Waynesboro in 1921. Whoever was up for president at that time, I voted.
Warren Harding, I think.
Uh-huh. Yes, I believe that's so.
Yeah, Warren Harding. And are you a veteran?
Yes, I'm a veteran, World War One. I served in the Navy Auxiliary Reserve.
So did you see action in World War One?
No, I saw no action. I was training on a coal boat running from Norfolk to the Navy Yard in Boston. But other than the threat of submarines, why, I saw no action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's good, because that was a nasty, the Great War, that was a nasty war to see action on the ground.
Yes, sir.
That was supposedly the war to end all wars.
Well, I remember that very well. A brother of mine was a captain that went over there, and he stayed there then for quite a while after the war. And when he come over home, he said, well, everybody's crazy that thinks that's the war to end wars.
Mm. Do you remember the first time you got electric light in your house?
Well, I did the wiring. I remember that in terms of the house. That had to be around 1912, 13, around there.
And what about the first time the first time Dad brought home a radio?
Radio?
Yeah.
Well, I used to put my own radios together.
You did?
Yes, yes. There were people who were selling kits, and you would buy the kit and do your own soldering work and so forth. And so first radios I ever owned were those I put together myself.
What do you think at age 102? We're in the computer age now. Everybody's got home computers. Everything is so far advanced, and you must have seen it all in your 102 years. What do you make of today's technology in comparison to the years you spent growing up?
Well, there's no question it's superior in every respect. The thing that has me worried more than anything else with a computer is your lack of privacy in a lot of cases.
Well, here's something you can help us out with, and you're in almost a unique position. There's not too many people around that are 100 years old that are still coherent. Now, when we turn over the digits at the turn of the century, what did you call it in 1900? Did you call it double aught?
Well, I see. I was just 5 years old when we got into the 1900s,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't mean much to me at that time. Yes, that's the way it was designated, as you would write it out.
Yeah. But you would say ought or O, like 1905.
Yes.
That's how you'd say it?
Yes.
Okay. What do you got planned for the rest of the day, Milton? I mean, how does your day, I mean, obviously, to be in such good health, and you're a very coherent man at 102 years of age. What does your day consist of? What time you get up in the morning?
Well, I get up at around 6 o'clock. And then get ready for work, and I'm at work by 8 o'clock.
What do you have for breakfast?
Well, I eat most anything, but anything from any of the cereals and eggs, and either the poached-type eggs,
mm-hmm.
Mostly.
Not everybody lives to the age of 102. There's got to be a secret in there. There's got to be something that you feel you've done to allow you to live this long.
Well, one thing is I've never smoked.
Never smoked?
Well, except as a kid, we tried to smoke dried grape leaves.
And that didn't hurt you, and he did it.
That's my smoking experience.
Dried grape leaves.
Yeah.
What about drinking? Did you drink?
Just socially, that's all. I've never been much of a drinker.
So there's never been one wild night where you got liquored up and ended up in bed with a strange woman?
No.
How long, Milton, were you a married man?
My first wife, my children were raised by her. She passed away, and I'm married now. The second wife.
So you're a married man right now?
Well, we've been married for about 30 years now.
Wow.
We're still real happy about it.
Oh, that's good. You ever in your two marriages ever cheat? Get somebody on the side, you know?
No.
You were always faithful?
One thing I tried to avoid.
You thought about it, though, didn't you?
Well, maybe. That's something we don't talk about.
I mean, in 102 years, you probably were tempted many times in your life.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, because were you a handsome man?
Well,
were you a real ladies' man?
No. I wouldn't say I was anything like that. No.
All right, let's see what other vices.
Just an ordinary person.
Gambling? You do a lot of gambling in your life?
No. No, that was kind of one of those things. It was a sin.
Yeah,
what, in my life.
What did you do for fun? I mean, what was in your heyday, Milton? What did Milton do for fun?
Well, when I was in high school and college, I was in athletics, mostly running, and track and cross country teams, and then as I got settled here, why, it was golf.
Golf?
Yeah.
You still play golf?
Well, just very limited. My eyes are so bad I can see more than one ball when I'm...
What was your best handicap?
My best handicap was around 24.
Not too bad. Not too bad. You were a social golfer.
Oh, of course... And I played golf more for benefit of exercise than trying to be a real top golfer.
Never used a golf cart, did you?
No.
And you used to play golf with those wood shaft clubs, didn't you?
I had a set of wood clubs, yes, early.
Did Willard Scott on the Today Show mention your birthday?
Yes. Yes.
That was a proud moment, wasn't it?
When I was 100 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you turn 100, I guess you're entitled to all kinds of stuff. The president send you something?
Well, the president didn't send me anything, but the president did present me with the medal, World War I medal. He did that here at Martinsburg, West Virginia. He was up there on November the 11th here about 3 years ago. Congress had awarded a medal to all living World War I vets. And he was giving a talk down here at Martinsburg, West Virginia. It's only about 25 miles from here.
So did you get to meet him, shake his hand?
And, oh, yes, yes. And he presented the medal to me personally.
Well, that was just wonderful, because there's not many World War I vets left, Milton.
No, that's right. There's just two of us here in Waynesboro now. The other fellow, he's 2 years younger than I.
So he's 100.
Yes.
All right, Milton, I wish you the best of luck and continued good health.
If we ever have any refrigeration questions, can we call you?
You bet.
All right, I appreciate it, Milton.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
You know, all right, he's 102.
I don't know. I mean, the guy sounds like he's in his right mind and everything, but that's a long time to hang around.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to live that long.
Well, keep smoking.
Hello again, this is Casey Kasem. Welcome to American Top 40 and our weekly countdown of the most popular records in the USA. Well, this week we have four debut songs, and they're by Queen, Rod Stewart, Earth, Wind & Fire, and Sean Cassidy. And the song at number one this week on AT40 breaks a rock era record established 21 years ago. Here come the 40 biggest hits in America.
Number 40. Heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to turn your radio on. Now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off your feet. Stan and Haiti. Stan and Haiti. Stan and Haiti on all afternoon. Now from Naples to Fort Myers, all over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Stan and Haiti, Stan and Haiti, Stan and Haiti, all afternoon. The best in local radio that there's ever been. Show is so damn good, it makes the Pope wanna sin. The fill out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws spies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. Was once, then you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon.
This is William Shatner. Take the next few minutes and listen very closely. You'll be amazed at
Stan and Haney.
Okay.
Can there be a little more excitement in the beginning?
I love it. Okay. This is William Shatner, and listen very closely. You'll be amazed at
Stan and Haney.
Okay, so I think that came pretty close.
96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. You know, I was talking to Haney. That 102-year-old Milton that we had on, Milton Gardner, I think his name was. We had, that was 25 years ago. He was 102. He passed away in 2000 at just shy of his 105th birthday. And you were hearing this year in 2022 a man that was alive nearly 127 years ago.
Fought the Kaiser.
And fought the Kaiser. World War I. And I just find it fascinating that he remembers electricity coming into the house, building his own radio so he could hear radio stations. And he liked to take pride at 102. He was still working, but not really. They gave him a nice little a little job to say he kept work going. You know, he getting up at 6 o'clock, you got to go somewhere.
At 102... I would think the definition of working changes a little bit.
Well, it should. I thought the definition of working would change when I was 60 compared to when I was 18, 19. I thought. That's what I thought.
I know. I told you. One of the luxuries of being into my 50s is that... I realized I could probably only do one job well.
Well, you better do it well, and I think you are, because...
But you know what I mean.
Yes. You can't be trained in anything. You can't go back to school.
No, but I mean, I'm exhausted. So,
well, yeah, I look at you right now, and you haven't even started your day. You're exhausted.
And Junior only knows that side of me. You know, look at you. Who you calling lazy? From the time that you've known me...
You've been lazy.
How many jobs...
Teasing.
How many jobs I have?
I'm teasing. I will say, I've known you... most of your adult life. Most of your adult life.
Very rarely have I had one job.
And I understand that. But as long as I've known you, and take this as almost admiring it, you will always take the shortest road. You're like Little Red Riding Hood, who, instead of taking the path that Grandma said to take, you took the shortcut and ran into the big bad wolf.
Kicked his ass.
But you look at this, you and I, and I would think a lot of people in our generation, and maybe the hard workers now, we started working a job... before we legally could start working a job. We were paid under the table. And I'm not talking about doing your chores for mom and dad. And I'm not talking about, and I admire them, you know, the kid that's got initiative and is mowing the lawns, which I think is phenomenal. Because you and I did that anyway. But
there was no benefit to that. You just did that.
I was talking about, you know, before we were 16, well before we were 15, there was always a shop owner, a mom and pop business that would go and tell a young Marky boy or a young Stashu to go and I can't keep you on the books because I'd have the labor people. You have a little something under the table.
See, I don't even count that part of it. I guess I should.
Yeah.
Because I put it as when I started working in radio is when I started working.
Right.
But come to think of it, I had many jobs before that.
It was one of those things, you know, when you get to be about, for us, when you get to be about 13, 14 years old, especially like, say, 14.
And especially given the fact that I'd shown early aptitude with
salad dressings. You know, my old man said, you know what? Get to work. Now, well, I still had to do my stuff on the farm, but then you get a job.
I'm appreciative of the fact that it wasn't so much being told for me. I just found them.
Well, with me...
You had a different upbringing.
It was... There was always work on the farm.
Yeah.
You know, if I didn't come and put in fence posts, clean the stables up, I was, you know, get my ass kicked. But there was... My old man thought, because I would come home and immediately start going to work on the farm. My old man thought, okay, he's going to be 14. He knew everybody. I'm going to find you a place to go work. And then it would work, and then I'd have to leave it, because for about the first week, you know, because I didn't have a driver's license... He'd drop me off.
Yeah.
Sometimes pick me up, sometimes not.
But you were
not.
A known commodity, and you knew how to keep your mouth shut.
You had to. You know, you got old man Wilson having you do stuff in his store, and he's giving... You don't go around blabbing it. You don't go to tell an authority figure that somebody's paying me under the table tax-free.
And that's the most innocent of it.
Yes. Yes.
If anybody asks where you work, you tell them you work at the Log Cabin Restaurant.
I was 16 then, and that's what I had to tell them. I washed dishes at the Log Cabin Restaurant. Stan did not see a pot or a pan.
Because Stan was a known commodity.
Stan, a little
and,
Stan.
And if Stan effed up at the Log Cabin, the Log Cabin knew they wouldn't have to discipline Stan.
No. See, you see, right by the sinks in the dishwasher in the Log Cabin, there was a nondescript door. It looked like a pantry.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, there were some cans of, you know, big giant cans of tomatoes and stuff. But there was a little spiral staircase that went somewhere else. I don't want to talk about it anymore. I'll get in trouble. Still get in trouble.
You know, it makes my summers working for Uncle Bob seem so idyllic.
What is all this stuff down here? Don't you ask questions. There's the spot where the truck comes and...
See, maybe I could have adjusted, but it is quite in my nature to ask questions.
You had to keep your mouth shut. And I was told that very early on. Do not say anything.
It's not that you didn't have questions.
I had a ton of them. I had a good idea what was going on. Oh, look at this roulette wheel. What are these, real card tables?
And to this day, those skills serve you well.
We'll be back. Stan and Haney. 96 K-Rock.
From border to border, from east to west, week after week, year after year, this is the biggest show in town.
Stan and Haney.
Stars in the afternoon, over the 159 stations from coast to coast.
96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, Thursday edition coming up a half hour away. We're going to have open phones, maybe some prizes for you guys. Also, we're going to play Stan's What's on the List. We've got a great list today. You guess something on the list, you're going to win. And then later on today, our question of the week.
You know, we both had our rough spots during childhood.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's what drove us to get out there quick.
I think it was our nature. I think that we had, and we bring it up, when we play a board game, we don't play for fun. We had what they call the go get 'em attitude very early on.
And I think when I was in junior high, it was fine. But when I went to high school and realized they were teaching me the same stuff I already knew and the teachers were dumber,
well,
I just lost all respect for it.
That's when you started bucking authority, and that's what led to your parents saying, not under my roof, and you had to move out.
Yeah. But
that was all. You were a troublemaker is what you were. You were a troublemaker. You were an instigator.
But you know the price I paid for that.
Yeah, heavy price. Heavy price.
Had ended up having to go to more school than I ever did.
Yep, because you couldn't keep your mouth shut.
Because I had to go through the college. So I had to go in the morning.
Just listen to the teachers.
Then I'd work in the, do noon to six on the radio station. And at 6:15, the next class started.
Well, and I think I appreciate that with you. We start talking about this. You and I could talk for hours on our own about the way we worked versus today.
You know, there was no Randy Bailey there for me.
No, there sure was. Grab bag.
No, I'm just saying. You know, I wish there was.
You and me both. Brought to you by the Pewter Mug North. US 41 North Naples.
Oh, where's my scare? You know how Junior looks at you?
I don't know, because I don't look at him.
He looks at you like you used to look at Chuck Deal.
Oh, gee, well.
Old bastard.
Yep, little son of a bitch.
And crotchety and mean.
Look at him. I don't do anything against him. I don't do anything against Junior.
You're 80% of the problem.
Yeah, apparently.
85.
I'd just like him to do an honest day's work. How many times you hear, whether it's the big tournament game going on, NFL season, you know, the sports bars. And it's mainly geared towards guys that want to watch their games and stuff.
Well, I remember how it started. And it started for a legitimate reason. Before everything was available on TV and the internet, they would, a restaurant or bar would invest in a gigantic satellite dish.
Sure.
It's not like, you know, your mini dish. This was like 10 feet wide so that they could show the fans in Florida that wanted to see the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
That was the only place you could go to see the game.
But it's mainly a guy thing. And, you know, with today's different society here in 2022, how about the sports bra?
Almost every sports bar in America is really a men's sports bar. You walk in, it's men's basketball, men's football, men's hockey, men's baseball. Until now. Get ready for the first sports establishment featuring women for women. The sports bra. The sports bra is...
That's okay. I'll take it from here. Yep, nothing but women's sports on all the big screens. And we don't have to serve foo-foo drinks or emotional support bartenders. Think about it. All we need is clean bathrooms. Mic drop. Think of it. More than one individual stall. Well-maintained sinks. Faucets with hot water. Garbage cans that get empty. And
don't
toilets
get us
that
started
work.
With who stinks Booyah, more again.
There's your sports bra. We are going to clean up. Pardon the pun.
No, you're not. I bet you if somebody opened a bar, a sports bar, that showed women's sports for women, they'd close.
I don't know that they could open.
Yeah.
I don't think they could afford to open.
A lot of overhead. All right, this is for people, and there's a lot of them because it's a huge market. Whether you're a guy and want to romance your gal, or you're a woman that likes candles when she takes a bath, or a scented candle. You get mad if somebody smokes in your house. You get mad if somebody is doing something to stink up your house, there is an organic chemist who's going to let you know right now about the dangers of burning scented candles in your house and breathing that stuff. Oh, I love the smell. What is that? Fresh cut rose.
Ocean breeze.
Ocean breeze. Think twice.
When we think of pollution, we think of it as an outdoor thing, but indoor air pollution caused by burning candles, air fresheners, and other sources is a big problem. Candles are made of cheap paraffin wax. They're made of artificial fragrances and dyes. And when we burn that, it gives off carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide, sulfur dioxide, benzopyrene, toluene, and other volatile compounds. They're not good for the body. They interfere with the body's ability to reproduce. The problem with these candles is there's no quality control. Candle manufacturers are not required, and they don't show over 90% of their ingredients. They don't have to prove safety. And we're just buying these and breathing it in, and it's a big problem. So be careful. If you're burning a candle once in a while in a well-ventilated space, I wouldn't worry about it. But chronically burning could be a big deal.
Well, then what kind of candles, according to him, should you be burning if you're going to burn any at all?
Hey guys, so when it comes to what candle is the safest for you, the research shows that it's soy. In this study below in 1997, they analyzed the volatile compounds coming off from candles, and they found that soy had less polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons and formaldehyde than beeswax or paraffin candles. You see the numbers here below. And so if you're going to burn a candle, to be safe, use an unscented soy candle.
Do they even burn right, Junior? You're a big candle guy.
And a big soy boy.
And a big soy.
A big candle guy and a soy boy.
I love soy.
I have a cinnamon candle that's probably poisoning me.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
I'm going to tell you, out of the three of us, I know there are two of us that will never eat soy.
Here, right here, I'm raising my hand.
I've never eaten soy. I don't know where you get that idea. What, because I'm a millennial? I eat soy all of a sudden? No, I care less.
Sure, okay.
Well, that's a plus. I mean, that's a feather in your cap. I'm surprised.
Yeah, you only see one body.
What?
Yesterday, we told you that this weekend's the
grim. Do I get extra points because it was floating in a river?
No. Oh, you just seen one floating? This weekend's the 54th Grammy Awards. Yesterday, we did the category of Best Rock Record. Now, Best Rock Song. These are the nominees for this year's Grammy. So I take everything out. Anything that we might possibly be interested in. And that would be rock. Here are your nominees for Best Rock Song. Kings of Leon, The Bandit. Paul McCartney, Find My Way. There's Weezer. All my favorite songs.
All my favorite people make me mad, so mad.
Wolfgang Van Halen. Distance.
Okay.
And the Foo Fighters. Waiting on a War.
Wasn't AC/DC
not nominated for song? Do you have candles in your house right now that you light on a nightly basis?
I have one that I light every now and then.
I see. I don't think a man would own a candle or light a candle. That's girlfriend.
Oh no! You again? If you're a single guy and you're inviting your lady over to the house, they like that. That's a little bit of domestication. They like that. Especially if you're a guy, you should make the house smell as nice as possible.
If you're being calculated, that's one thing. I'm talking about daily life.
No, not daily life. What about?
Because once she moves in.
Yeah. You're going to have plenty of candles.
You're going to have candles everywhere, especially underneath the curtains and places like where you're going to have to go through after her and go, no.
What about incense? Is that horrible to breathe in?
Can't be good.
Probably.
I got it as a gift, and it's the coolest
one
thing.
One of those wooden things?
One of those reverse incense burners.
Oh, where the smoke falls?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so brought it into the house, opened it up. My wife and I went and got their special incense cones that you got to get. They're the hollow ones so that it essentially gets a draft and you can do the back draft thing on it. And this has like a hand that is holding like a globe thing. And the smoke will come off the hand and then go down. And it's really cool. But so we go and light this thing. I've lit it one time. Why? Because when this thing started smoking, it's beautiful to look at. The smell of that incense stayed in the house for a week. And when it was initially burning, I said, you know what? I'm smelling, this is very strong, and it seems to be sitting in this room like a fog. And it can't be good.
Which was stronger, the lingering incense or the KFC fire log?
Two totally different things. That was a putrid smell. I didn't think that the incense was a bad smell. My wife loved the Kentucky Fried Chicken log.
Wouldn't let you burn it for the longest time.
But this, the back-burning incense was so strong, and I think I can't remember which, yes?
It's that lingering smell.
It like lingers.
When it initially burns, you know, it smells pretty good. But
it was strong.
Yeah, it's just that lingering smell. That
can't be helpful. Yeah.
It goes and it attacks all the fabrics and
the
walls.
Yes,
yes. Then that must be sticking to my lungs. God, I'm so glad I smoked.
That's the only thing that'll save you.
Show, if you get find a video, you can show Haney how one of these back burners.
Well, I used to have one of the waterfall ones.
They're pretty effing cool.
You know what I saw? And it was clickbait, so I didn't click on it. But it was these, you've probably seen it if you've been on the internet. These metal windmills that when the wind hits them, they go crazy and do like starburst patterns.
Oh, yeah. I've seen them. They have them at a lot of arts and crafts shows. They're pretty cool, too.
You know what I was thinking?
What?
Get a good size one of them.
They make them big.
And see if Tig would put it up on the tower.
Yeah, but you got to have a good strong wire on it. So that when the wind comes, it doesn't blow it away. Something tells me if it stays up there, because after 9/11, we put an American flag up on the top of that tower, and it didn't last very. It wound up going to shreds and disintegrated. Put one of those little things up there that move around, and there's a lot of wind up there.
Something tells me there's an OSHA violation.
There you go.
Somewhere.
That's it. Look at this.
An OSHA violation? What the?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. That thing's sharp. I wouldn't want to be underneath it when that thing falls.
Oh, yeah, because it will fall.
Well, I'd like to make it
so sharp sheets of metal.
It's got to be big enough where you can see it from 41.
Yeah. Well, that's big, and that's dangerous. Joe Rogan.
This doesn't make sense to me.
Oh, it doesn't. It goes. It's almost like a smoke waterfall.
It's like the teardrop incense.
Yeah.
It has to be still air, too.
Yeah, that's why the cone's got a hole drilled into it.
But I'm just looking at that, and I don't think that I could abide it, because it goes against everything you know.
It does. That's what makes it so bizarre. Joe Rogan says he will quit Spotify if they make him walk on eggshells. Like, you're going to make me walk on eggshells? Then I won't work.
If I become something different because it grew bigger, I'll quit. If it gets to a point where I can't do it anymore, where I have to do it in some sort of weird way, where I walk on eggshells and mind my P's and Q's, oh, f*** that.
Wanda Sykes was one of the hosts of the Oscars. And I got to hand it to the stand-up comedians who are really supporting Chris Rock on this thing. Here's Wanda talking about when this happened and her feelings about the matter. They're all siding with Chris Rock, and I don't blame them.
I saw Chris at Guy's party, and as soon as I walked up to him, the first thing he said was, "I'm so sorry." And I'm like, "Why are you apologizing?" He's like, "It was supposed to be your night. It was supposed you and Amy and Regina, y'all were doing such a great job. I'm so sorry. This is now going to be about this." And I just felt so awful for my friend, you know. It was sickening. I physically felt ill, and I'm still a little traumatized by it. And for them to let him stay in that room and enjoy the rest of the show and accept his award, I was like, how gross is this? This is just the wrong message.
You want to know the power of Will Smith? The president and the CEO of the Academy, two separate people, went up to Will Smith. They pretty much are the event. They are the boss of bosses. And they asked him to leave.
I know.
And Will Smith simply declined.
Yep. And you saw the update on, because now there are some that are saying, oh, there was no such thing that the people asked him to leave. That it was discussed, and we need to go and ask Will Smith to leave. But they stopped short of that because they did not want the cameras having security hauling him out and him getting all worked up.
My understanding is they did ask him to leave. He refused, and then
were
they going to escalate it?
Yep, and have him kicking and screaming as security was taking him out of the...
You still think it's a gang?
And now... Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Now, and what happens when you go and do something like this? How we fall for it the same time as every time is beyond me. So he goes and does this. By the way, you see the latest footage out now of his wife laughing. Mm-hmm. When he hit Chris Rock.
Oh, I'm sure she was very pleased.
Of course, the Daily Mail, you know, what's so funny? You have to, if you're going to hold this ruse tightly to your chest, you're going to have to go and stand by it. You're going to have to go and live with it. And what happens virtually every time is it escalates, because now there are people that are thinking it's real that are in on it. Well, the Academy probably had no idea. We're going to have to ask him to leave. Well, Will, are you going to play it out? Are you going to keep it going? Here, the latest is Chris Rock, his tickets going for thousands of dollars. There was one guy complaining after the show. He said, I didn't pay a premium to go see Chris Rock last night and him not address this with new jokes and stuff because he made a brief comment and stuck to his act.
I totally get that.
I get it, but this is how it snowballs, because people that aren't in on it and they want to go and add their 2 cents worth. This started out as an attention grabber to bring headlines to a dead event. But you've got to go and keep it close to your chest. Those in the know, and I don't know who knew. Did both of them know? Did just one say he was going to do it? Were they in on it? I don't know. But when you hold it close to your chest and you get everybody else adding into it, it snowballs. And then you get to the point of, how out of control is this going to get?
But then he had that footage in the aftermath of Denzel Washington and Tyler Perry consoling Will Smith.
Yep.
And then Bradley Cooper decides to step in and give him a hug.
Yeah, consoling Will.
Yep, this is why I'm saying there's something not right about it. And when two people, say you and I, We're going to go and play a good, hard, practical joke on Junior. One that was hurtful.
A real slap to the face, if you will.
One that really crossed the line.
Yes. Hypothetical. We're not playing a practical joke on you.
80%, yeah.
But you and I...
85.
Oh, that's right. It's up.
Company doesn't know that we're going to do this. The listeners to the show don't know they're going to... Junior doesn't know that we're going to do this. But you and I, and we say to each other, Haney, we got to make it look real, and we got to stick to it. That this was just a thing that we did.
And we got to execute.
We got to execute it. But then suddenly the listeners want to get involved with it. And then somebody that used to work with us, who was a producer at another time, could identify with that. And then you figure out that Mother has to go and intervene with this, and we won't tolerate. Then suddenly it snowballs. Then this would be a nice change for the last 10 years. Then the media gets a hold of it. And you and I are looking at each other, and we there's a lot of other people involved in this now, but we still have to keep it to the chest. We can't let it out that this was... It's now snowballed. That's what's happening right now. You think Wanda Sykes knew that was going to go? And probably not.
Well, Chris Rock, getting up on stage, he did two shows last night. He's doing two shows tonight and tomorrow, I guess for the foreseeable future.
Oh, he's going to be down at the Hollywood Hard Rock on the 14th and 15th.
And for him to get up there, and he knew he had to acknowledge it.
Right.
And so he gets up on stage, and my understanding is they applauded him, and when they calmed down, first thing he said was, "So... how was your weekend?"
Right.
And that was about the
extent
that he went through. And
fans were waiting for new material.
They got all new material that he's been working on for the past year.
I understand that. New material that's about a less than a week old.
That.
Now, keep in mind, I wouldn't expect Chris Rock, who's got a new act and he's going around, to do that. That's the fan. That's the person sitting there who didn't pay the $98 for a ticket, but did drop the $600 for a ticket because he had to be there. And then you get them bitching. You know how this is.
I do, and it's ridiculous. But for him, that incident has the potential to be kryptonite or gold.
Oh, we said that from the beginning.
And it's all in what he does with it.
Absolutely.
So I would imagine that within a couple of months, he'll have plenty to say
maybe
about it.
Yeah, we'll see. Grab bag brought to you by the Pewter Mug North. We got to take a break. We're desperately late. Your phone call's coming up next.
If he's not in on it and something like that happens out of the blue, it takes you a minute.
Yeah, sure. Stan and Haney.
Suddenly, there's a whole new way of looking at radio. Introducing
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
277-9600. We'll open up the phone lines here. Find out what's on your mind. Do it every day. 277-9600. If you would like to contribute, tell us a comment, thought, something on your mind, you could get a prize. I'll go over those in just a second. I want to pass this along. This story came out a while ago. I just ran across it because they're trying to keep it mum. But another piece of our childhood is going away. And I don't care if you were a kid of the 1950s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, the aughts. You, especially if you were a boy, sorry, boys and girls, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And this is a shame. Story came out last year, but I guess it's going to be, it is official. And I didn't know about it until about a week ago when I was on vacation. Headline, Major League Baseball will end a 70-year deal with the Topps Trading Company, meaning no more Topps baseball cards.
Why? It seems like they were doing a fine job.
Yeah. Major League Baseball will abandon Topps as its partner for trading cards, ending a relationship that has been in place since 1952. Fanatics, the company that makes sports apparel, will get the trading card deal instead. Major League Baseball renewed its deal with Topps in 2018, and the existing deal will go through 2025, and then that'll be the end. The MLB.
Now, long term, does this mean that Topps will go up in value?
Don't know. They were just sold, Topps.
But I mean, cards with that logo on it.
Certain. So many were made. Now, the earlier
ones.
I'm
talking about the cards that are valuable already. They're Topps.
Maybe. The MLB Players Association deal also aligns with the league, so its deal would end with them too. Major League Baseball will turn to Fanatics in some capacity to produce physical trading cards. Fanatics plans to start a new trading card company and will give equity to the Major League Baseball and the Players Association. Topps was founded in 1938, began producing baseball cards in 1951. You know, the legendary Mickey Mantle rookie card that went for $6 million. The company, after 2025, that's it. 277-9600.
Well, sure people who signed that deal are long gone.
Yep. Here's what we have. If not everybody can get a prize, but we'll sprinkle a few prizes out there if you have a good call and tell us what's on your mind. We have GNC, General Nutrition Center. We have a gift card to Mel's Diner. Love Mel's. The Boathouse on Naples Bay. Offering the best in seafood, premium meats, old world pasta dishes, along with fresh salads, hearty sandwiches, and succulent burgers. We also have a gift card to South Street in Naples. Craft beers on tap, pizzas, Philly cheesesteaks, 277-9600. What do you got for us, Haney?
If I can have your indulgence, Dan, I'm in a little bit of a weird mood.
Yeah.
Here's what I got for you.
Okay. Is that Louis Prima?
Sure is.
Nice job.
With his lovely wife, Keely Smith.
277-9600.
Hey, girl.
Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Josh.
Hey, Josh, what's going on?
Hey, I just want to say I love you guys. Been listening to you guys for over 20 years.
Thank you.
Real quick, every once in a while you'll come back from the break and you'll play the that baseball announcer that's messing up all the names.
Mm-hmm.
Is there some place I can find that, or is that secret?
Not a place on the face of the earth. Now, if you want to hear it again, I'd make a note of it when we play it, and then you can go to our podcasts and hear it. But
okay.
That's a one-off.
Probably the only way. So when you hear us play it, make a note of what time it is, and then look it up on the podcast.
Yep. 277-9600. Yes, do you have something to add?
I think you played it 2 days ago.
Yeah, might have.
Should be in our podcast.
Yep. I don't remember what time. 277-9600.
Name of this song, Hey Boy, Hey Girl.
Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Michael.
Hey, Michael, welcome to the Stan and Haney Show.
Thank you, sir. I do appreciate it. You were listening, I actually was listening earlier to Milton Garvin from Waynesboro, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
That old gentleman.
Yes, so he was 102 at the time.
I had the extreme pleasure of going to one of his classes in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania in 1989. when I was up there for the Frick Corporation.
Get the hell
and
out.
I actually have a picture of the class with Milton Garvin then. And when he came in, this old guy shuffles in and we're thinking, oh, great. What's this all about? That was one of the smartest guys I have ever met.
Here's the deal with Milton. And God rest his soul, he's been dead since 2000. If he was alive today, he'd be 127 years old.
He made it to 105?
105, just shy of his 105th. He died in 2000. He, when I did more research on him, he talked about working with the air conditioning and the ice plants. He has, this guy was brilliant. He has a bunch of patents in his name.
Oh, yes. Yes, he does. And a lot of them are with the Frick Corporation, which was based in Waynesville, Pennsylvania. But interestingly enough, that company started building boilers way back when, and they had a steam plant where they generated their own electricity to run their refrigeration side when it converted to the refrigeration.
That's why I even played it today. He lived a life that America is not familiar with anymore, and we had the privilege to speak with him. He voted for Warren Harding.
God bless his soul.
Yes, sir, and I appreciate the call. Can I get you something?
Sure. I was unfortunately unable to hear what was available.
I've got General Nutrition Center. I've got Mel's Diner. I've got the Boathouse on Naples Bay. I've got South Street.
How about the Boathouse?
You got it, buddy. Hold on. 2779600. Line 3.
Oh, Marie. In your arms, I'm longing to be.
He was great.
Baby. I am a Louis Prima fan.
Absolutely. While the stars shine above me. Shine above me. Hey, Marie. Ahoy, who's this?
Corey.
Hey, Corey, welcome. It's your dime. Go ahead. What's up?
Well, I just want to call and say how great you guys are. Been
Thank you.
To you for 3 years.
Oh, where'd you come from?
Oh, I'm born and raised here.
Corey, I got to talk to you for just a second.
All right.
And I hope somebody in the building other than us is listening.
Absolutely.
Corey, how old of a guy are you?
I just turned 34 yesterday.
And happy birthday. And I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you a birthday present here in just a second. You've been listening to us for 3 years. Can I ask you if you've lived here all your life? Because Haney and I have been here for 30 years. What was it 3 years ago? I mean, you started listening just then. How did you find us?
Oh, just my friend told me you guys were great. And I get you guys as jokes and everything else. I love to laugh, and you guys are the best.
But it was just by chance that somebody said, you know what,
his friend recommended
you might want to listen to these guys. That was how it happened?
Yes, sir.
What? See? Back to my original
point. Had you heard of us before he recommended us?
Corey, had you heard of us before he recommended you to us to you?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. My phone's messed up.
All right, we'll call back later. What the hell?
That would be interesting.
That would be interesting to know. A guy that's been here, was born and raised here, in his 30s, and only discovered us 3 years ago by just word of mouth. What's the problem with that picture? 2779600. Ahoy, who's this?
My name's Michael.
Hey, Michael, welcome to the Stan and Haney Show.
Thank you, sir. So, you guys were talking about the baseball cards and Topps going away.
Yes, sir.
So, a few months back, I was having to do an inspection for a gentleman. This guy has the signed baseball cards. I'd seen the Babe Ruth signed baseball. This guy was a huge collector of memorabilia for the Yankees. I've seen things that I thought I would never see in my life.
Locally?
This guy's place. He lives in Southwest Florida. Due to privacy, I'm not going to give too much. I can respect that. But yes, he resides in Southwest Florida, part of the year anyway.
Okay. I believe it. And there's a lot of collectors like that. And here's something that you won't know. We've always talked about celebrities that have their privacy here or just come here because this is where they want to retire. And they won't be like household names unless you're a fan of the Yankees or you're a fan of a particular team. But you'll see like at rec leagues or kids Babe Ruth leagues and stuff, some old guy going out there and throwing them a little batting practice or going and collecting baseballs, you know, that were hit out into the outfield. And you go, hey, who are you? They'll tell you their name, and then you realize they played on the 58 World Series championship team for the Yankees. They were relief pitchers. Well, they all lived down
and,
here.
And also, under the category of if you build it, they will come, when the Everblades finally completed that arena, the people that showed up.
Yeah, oh, it used to be a who's who of hockey that used to show up at Hertz Arena in those first few years of the Everblades playing here. I mean, I was like a kid in a candy shop walking down the hallway and saying, hold on a second, that's Rod Gilbert walking right by. Mm-hmm. All the that would happen a lot.
The same thing here. It's so small, you don't think much about
it. It's true. What can I get you?
What's on your list, Dan? I missed that part of it.
I got GNC, I got Mel's Diner, I got the Boathouse, I've got South Street.
The Boathouse.
Done. Hold on. All right, we got to take a break. That does not mean, line two, that does not mean we're ending phone calls. We're going to play Stan's What's on the List. If you name something on the list, we got a good list today. You're going to have to think about it a little bit because I guarantee you, not everyone is going to be named, but you have one in your head that's probably on the list. If you name something on our list, we'll set you up with a prize. We're Stan and Haney.
It's what you call a vamp.
It's what you call a legend.
Oh, yeah, Keeley.
We'll be back. It's great stuff.
Bastards of Beasley Media Group, Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us. It is a Thursday.
And what a beautiful day.
It's a great day. Nice and breezy and warm. About 30 minutes away from your first look at traffic.
See,
news,
that's what
headlines
we're,
with Mark Haney.
We're known for that happy talk.
Yeah, that's us. Hey! Let's see what else. 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails, hour away from our question of the week. But we're going to give you a chance to win again as we play a fun game, Stan's What's on the List.
Because we're supposed to be having
it's
fun.
It's about fun. We're supposed to be a distraction. I know that doing this is a distraction for me.
Mm-hmm.
But, so we're going to give you a chance to win. I'll give you the category. When I give you the category, we'll release the phones. And if you are the first person to name something that is on this list, you'll get yourself a prize. We've got GNC.
Will this make me forget that I'm stuck in traffic again?
It will occupy your time.
Okay.
So that if you're stuck in traffic again, at least you can go and start thinking about something other than the traffic.
Fair enough.
We have a General Nutrition Center. We have Mel's Diner. We have the Boathouse on Naples Bay. And we have South Street. You got the craft beers on tap, pizzas, and Philly cheesesteaks at the big graffiti decorated bar. It's a great place. Here's the category. A recent survey was done of nearly 100,000 people. So it's a big survey. They were asked to vote. Nearly 100,000 people voted. So this is a pretty solid list. they were asked, what are the best store-bought cookies? I'm looking, and don't think that you can just say a name. There are a lot of sub-cookies. That's why I'm thinking a lot of, there will be some that you won't get. Some, no problem. Just think about going to the store and the cookies that you love. Nearly 100,000 votes.
So you're looking for brand names or types?
Brand and type. The top 10 best store-bought cookies. Let's play Stan's What's on the List? Phone lines have just been released. 277-9600. I have the top 10. And it's the brand and the type of cookie. Nearly 100,000 votes came in for it. The top 10 best store-bought cookies. Get one of them on the list, you're a big winner. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Amanda.
Hi, Amanda, how are you?
I'm good.
Everything going well? How's your eating habits? How are meals in the evening?
Pretty good.
Okay. Amanda, you're up first. Did it make the top 10 best store-bought cookie?
Oreos,
of course, number 2 on the list, Amanda. What would you like?
Mel's Diner.
Done. Hold on. Amanda gets Mel's Diner. Yeah, Oreos. Is that the only time we'll see Oreos on this list? I don't know. Well, I do know, but I could say no or I could say yes.
But why would you help anybody?
Why would I help at this stage? So, yeah, Oreos was number 2. The classic. Ahoy, who's this?
This is John.
John, we have Oreos at number 2. Based on this survey, nearly 100,000 votes. What's the best store-bought cookie?
Chips Ahoy.
Did not make the list.
That's shocking.
Did not make the list. I think it should have. There's one on here, and you'll know why, that it might be even better than Chips Ahoy. That's another classic, though, but did not make the list. The top 10. Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy. No. Ahoy, who's this?
Tammy.
Tammy? Hi, Tammy. What do you think's on the list? We have Oreos coming in at number 2. What else do you think made the top 10?
How about Nutter Butter peanut butter sandwich cookie?
Number 5 on the list, the Nutter Butter is number 5. What would you like, Tammy?
Mel's Diner?
Done. Hold on.
Well, that was efficient.
Yep. That's how it's supposed to be done. Nutter Butters came in at number 5. Best store-bought cookie. Ahoy, who's this?
Suzanne.
Suzanne, we have Oreos at number 2. Nutter Butters at number 5. What else do you think made that top 10?
Keebler Fudge Stripes.
Yes. Came in at number 3, Keebler Fudge Stripes.
I'm way out of my league here. Yes. With these specifics.
Yep, the Keebler Fudge Stripes. What would you like?
What do you got left?
I've got GNC, I got Mel's Diner, I got the Boathouse on Naples Bay, I got South Street.
Mel's Diner.
All right, hold on. That's it for today on Mel's Diner. Yeah, they are good. Nobody's gotten number 1 yet. We've got number 2 being Oreos. Number 3, the Keebler Fudge Stripes. And number 5, Nutter Butters. Still got 7 more on this list. Oh, I'm sorry, 6 more. That made the top 10. Nearly 100,000 people voted. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, this is John from Naples. How you guys
John,
doing?
John, doing good, buddy. What do you think's on here? We got Oreos. We've got Nutter Butters. We have Keebler Fudge Stripes. What else do you think's on this?
Dan, I'm shooting for number one, baby. Famous Amos.
Not number one, but that was the point I was talking to Haney about. Famous. Well, hold. I gotta hold. I can't give it to you yet. Famous Amos, what kind of cookies? Yes, sir. Number seven on the list. We talked to Wally Amos, who invented the Famous Amos cookie. And, well, here's the thing with him is Wally Amos was selling his cookies, his Famous Amos cookies in Hawaii. And the company bought him out, a major company to distribute them across the nation. Okay. Bought him out and bought the name Famous Amos, and he could not use that anymore. And he started a new company making a new batch of cookies. And but he, when we had him on, we had to call him Wally Amos because we couldn't say Famous Amos.
Correct.
What would you like?
I'm sorry, I had my radio down.
I've got South Street. Craft beers, Philly cheesesteaks, pizzas.
Let's go to South Street.
You got it. Hold on. Famous Amos chocolate chip. 277-9600. We'll give a few more people a chance to win, then we'll go over the list. I don't think that all answers will be revealed on this. I don't think.
Well, I mean, we've had some impressive answers.
Yes, sir. Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy. Bye. Ahoy, who's this?
Justin.
Justin, am I on a speakerphone, Justin?
You're on.
What?
Justin.
Last chance, gone.
Ahoy, who's this?
Patty.
Hi, Patty, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. We've got Oreos. We got Nutter Butters. We got Keebler Fudge Stripes. We've got Famous Amos Chocolate Chip. There's still more on this list on that survey of best store-bought cookies. I got the top 10 here.
Okay. I'm going with Archway Cookies, the orange iced one.
Archway orange iced cookies? Not there. Although, you know what? By going out on a limb like that and saying that, you...
It's good strategy.
It's very good strategy. Nobody has gotten the number one cookie. And I will say that when I'm going down the grocery store aisle, the cookie aisle, if I see them... And I'm in the mood for them. I tell my wife, let's get some of those and never get an argument on her because she loves them too, the number one. Nobody's gotten it yet. Ahoy, who's this?
Hot damn, this is Gary.
Hey, Gary.
What's up, boys? How about Fig Newtons?
No, did not. And it's a shame because I was going to give you a pewter mug on Marco Island.
Yeah, I know, but it's been closed for 35 years.
Not on the list, Gare.
That's still not over for him.
No, it hasn't healed. Ahoy, who's this?
Hi, this is Kathy.
Hi, Kathy. What do you think's on this list?
Pepperidge Farms Milano cookies. They've got to be on there.
Number one answer. The Pepperidge Farm Milanos, by far, in my opinion, the best.
Back in the days when I had a live-in girlfriend, every time I went to the store, that was top of the list.
You had to. I told you, when my wife and I are going down the aisle, there's no argument out of her about those Pepperidge Farm Milanos. Absolutely not. What would you like? I got GNC, I've got Boathouse, I've got South Street.
What is South Street? Where is
South
it?
South Street.
Anything in Fort Myers?
It's down in Naples. It's craft beers on tap. Would you like the Boathouse? That's in Naples, too. You know what? You sound like a woman that could use some vitamins.
No.
No?
No, I don't want GNC, no.
Okay.
Well, I happen to be sitting right outside of GNC, by the way.
Well, that would have helped you. So I got the Boathouse and I got South Street.
We'll go South Street.
Are you sure? Are you going to use it? Or do you want to just call us later for another game and be a big winner? Because I don't want to see it go to waste.
No, I'll give it to my husband and I will go out.
Oh, yeah, now, see, okay, that'll
okay,
be nice.
There we go. That's a nice night out, and I'm going to put you on hold, and Junior will give you the instructions. Hold on. Thank you, sweetheart. Let's go down the list.
But before you go...
you want to take a stab at it?
Well, I the specifics I stumble on, but is there... did anything from the Entman company make the list?
No.
What about the Vortman company?
No, thank God. I almost want to let Junior try to take a stab at this.
Now, how would I, if...
Hold on.
I don't know how to answer this.
What?
But let's say I like the cookies from the bakery at the grocery store. How would I phrase that?
That not a bakery store. Nothing from the bakery. This
so it's got to be
in the cookie
packaged national.
Yes,
okay.
In the cookie aisle. What do you think?
Tate's. Was that on the list? Yeah.
Tate's what?
I don't know. Chocolate chip. They got a bunch.
Not on the list.
Snickerdoodle.
Not on the list.
Oh, whatever.
Here's the list. Recent survey done asking people to pick their favorite store-bought cookie. Nearly 100,000 votes came in. And here are your top 10. I'll start at number 10. Coming in at number 10, Keebler Fudge Sticks. Number 9, I've never heard of these, and I don't know if it's regional or what. Coming in at number 9, made the top 10 where a ton didn't. Mother's Frosted Animal Cookies. Don't know what that is. Number 8, Soft Batch Chocolate Chip. Number 7, Famous Amos Chocolate Chip Cookies. Number 6, Nilla Wafers.
Oh, yeah.
Nilla Wafers, fine Nabisco product. Number 5, Nutter Butters.
See, Nilla Wafers go well with so many things.
Yep. I told you, somebody said to Oreos, and would it show up again with a different style? Yeah, at number 4, the Oreo Double Stuff. Number 3... And then everybody got these. Number 3 was the Keebler Fudge Stripes. Number 2 was the Classic Oreos. And I think by far, the number 1, Pepperidge Farm Milanos. So good. And they don't give you enough. I'd like a bag of those with about 150 in there.
Well, it's to make it affordable.
Correct.
And if you thought you were getting shorted before, just wait a couple of months.
Because they have those two little, yes, you have those two little cupcake paper things that they put maybe 4 or 5 cookies in each of them. Seriously, that's gone in a sitting. Congratulations to all of our winners and all who participated. Thank you. When we come back, you're going to get your first look at traffic, news headlines with Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails. Later on in the 4 o'clock hour, we'll open up the phones again because you have the answer to our question of the week. We're Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You know, I met Stan and Haney, and they're not at all what I expected. I expected to see some guy in shorts and a giant T-shirt or something like that. And well, actually, that's what I did see. Yeah, they pretty much fit the image.
Paul Gaeta, founder of the Sanibel Steakhouse.
Yeah, you know, Stan reminds me of a big 14-ounce filet, a big, you know, that big piece of meat right in the middle of the plate. And he's kind of like a 10-ounce strip steak. You know, he's kind of tall and skinny.
Dedicated craftsmen gather each day in pursuit of perfection.
Oh, I'll tell you what makes it, well, it's when you have two guys, it's just like a porterhouse. You know, you get the best of two worlds. Usually they're different personalities, at least they should be. If they're the same personality, it doesn't work. So they're going to kind of have different ideas about life and things in general, and I think that's what you got with these two guys. I think they're great.
Experience the passion being crafted for you each day.
We like the term on the way out. We'll be back. Thank you. It was great.
Stan and Haney. Weekday afternoons on 96 K-Rock.
It's a new era for America and Southwest Florida. As for Stan and Haney, unfortunately, their problems remain much the same.
Stan and Haney.
96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. You know, I was thinking about this. By the way, we'll get you updated on traffic, news headlines with Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer, your email.
Can I need your help with something?
Go ahead. I'll keep my thought. My thought can pop out at any time.
Oh, okay. Well,
go ahead. What
do
you need?
Very gracious of you. I just did a thought experiment.
Well, see, that's what I was doing.
And I'd like to know if I succeeded.
All right, go ahead.
Because I was thinking about us,
yeah,
what we do,
yeah,
and our audience.
Yeah.
And I tried to think...
Three completely different things.
Well, I put them all together.
Yeah.
And I tried my damnedest to come up with the last song anybody would want to hear. And this is what I came up with.
This is the last song anybody would want to hear. Why are we playing it?
I thought for sure he was going to play Rock Me Amadeus.
No, that's come on.
That's a goodie.
That's a great one.
Yeah, tomato, tomato.
In my opinion, this is the last song that anybody would want to hear.
Isn't that Madonna?
Yes. Beat out every other song I could think of as far as the last thing anybody would want to hear.
Then why are we playing it?
Just a thought experiment.
Okay. I don't want to hear it. Do you want to hear it?
I'd rather this than Rock Me Amadeus.
Shut up. You know what? You're no help. You're not any help.
This is...
Will you turn it off?
This is just how bad the 80s were.
Will you... And that's kind of almost leading to my question of the week, but... Shut that off. That's horrible.
So, I win. Can you think of anything that could top that?
I don't want to even try. You win.
Winner. I'm a big winner.
Winner. That's a winner.
Chicken dinner. What did you have?
Nothing. I was...
Because you said you had your own thought experiment.
I had my own thought. I think it's feasible, but I don't know if it's cost prohibitive. We have a lot of people that, as a hobby photographer, and we're in this digital age. But ever since I was in Dallas and saw a lot of the Zapruder film, I've been going online. I actually had this done with my grandparents, transfer all the old 8mm and Super 8s to discs so you can see them. What is lacking when I'm watching like old movies is that feeling of, it's not videotape, it's not digital, it's shooting on film. I would like, and I don't know if they're made or you can get one, a good Super 8 movie camera, the cartridge Super 8 film, and just have the camera, and I'd like to go, like, in the radio station. And
does anybody still develop it?
That's what I want to know. And shoot you on camera, shoot Junior. AKA like the 60s or 70s because of the resolution that a Kodak movie film would have. Be able to process it and then find online like an old projector and show it. Or have it transferred to digital, but just to have that look that old movie cameras used to have.
Well, you'd
I don't know if they make Super 8 film anymore. I don't know if there's a place that develops Super 8 film.
Well, if you're going to do any editing, you'd want to transfer
it. I don't know.
Digital.
Part of the fun of it is the horrible stops and starts that were in family movies. And so I'd have it.
I don't know. You may have to give Junior a trigger warning before you start talking about home movies.
Why?
He
trigger warning.
He doesn't do well with those.
You don't do well with home movies.
No, they're fun to watch, but there was this one incident that kind of scarred me for life. And
we're all waiting. What was scarring you for life from a family movie?
Okay, so my dad took our old VHS tapes from when we were kids.
See, I'm talking about farther back with the Super 8.
Well, he's not that old.
No, I know.
He was converting them all to digital, putting them on DVD.
Yeah.
And periodically, the scene would cut away.
From, like, you opening presents and...
Yeah, from us opening presents on, like, Christmas Day.
Yeah.
It would cut away to a sex tape he made with my mom. And
right on. That's what happens. That's a mistake that a lot of people, if you remember the VHS, if you taped over something, occasionally what was underneath and what was previously there shows up.
Yeah, he looked like a dying seal.
So you got a little clips, little snippets of a sex tape that was taped over for family movies.
It would cut away like four times.
Yeah,
and
sure.
We're all sitting around, enjoying these Christmas clips, and then all memories. Of a sudden, oh God!
Yeah,
and get all warm and fuzzy, and then oh sweet,
and it was in front of a fireplace. Like how corny.
Yeah, then you start seeing the pumping.
Yeah, dying seal, man.
I want to know, do they still make Super 8 film?
Yeah, you can buy them on eBay.
You can buy Super 8 undeveloped film cartridge.
I didn't look up the film. I looked up the camera.
Okay, well, you got to have film in the camera.
And the film needs to be developed.
And to be developed. So I would type in there, does anybody process Super 8 movies? That sounds so...
That's really helpful.
Yep.
Maybe type in.
Maybe. Try that. Do that in a search. Traffic brought to you
That's by, why you're the man.
Yep. Brought to you by Firehouse Subs. Three
Does
Lee County locations. Fort Myers, Cape Coral. Process. Super 8.
And you can get the film.
You can?
Yep. You get it on Amazon.
Okay. Can I get it processed? Send it off for developing.
And what is it, 8mm?
Super 8, the Super 8 cartridge. You had a Super 8 camera, you drop it right in, you got 5 minutes of film, and then you'd pop it out and put it in an envelope to go off to the lab.
Well, there's a couple places I found online you could send it to.
Okay. Expensive, probably really expensive.
Price, $25 per roll.
And that's 5 minutes. 25 bucks, that's pricey. Fort Myers got a crash, 13,000 block of South Cleveland Avenue, right by the Fresh Market. And then one more for you. It's a crash. Market Street and... What's that? How do you say that word? Alakisha?
Let me see.
Second one.
Alicia?
Yeah.
Alicia.
Alicia Street.
Thank you. And you are up to date.
Thank you.
I have another traffic update for you in just a little bit. Coming up in less than 1 hour, it'll be the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney. He is the news. What can you expect? Well, as he does every day at this time, he has today's headlines, and they're brought to you by Rubenstein Law, 1-800-FL-LEGAL. Also open on weekends.
K Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you did not know.
Right.
And I will tell you quite frankly that there are multiple stories today that concern me because they are released in such close proximity to April 1st, where you can believe nothing. But these are released well before April 1st.
Okay.
You know the good people over at Dyson Vacuum Cleaners?
Yeah.
Well, they're putting out headphones that also strap a full air purifier across your face.
I sense April Fool's joke.
And we covered this during the grab bag, except you didn't tell me it was real.
What?
An all-women's sports bar called the Sports Bra opens tomorrow.
Yep. All excitement.
I thought it was made up.
I don't think it'll stay in business.
But it seems to be real. We'll have the details.
All right.
In the eyes of the legal system, I'm not an attorney, so I could be wrong. But I believe if you're under 8 years old, a pinky swear is legally binding in most states.
I think you're right on that.
But above the age of 8, not so much. A thief forced a man to pinky swear he wouldn't call the cops on
pinky
him.
Pinky swear on that.
And finally, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the job market, and this won't help. Evidently, a woman had applied for multiple jobs and was keeping a sharp eye on her phone for any replies.
Yeah.
She received a text response that ended with, "Are you still interested in the position, you piece of crap?" Now, if Stan was boss,
it could very well be true.
And, of course, your mentor, Al Burke.
Yep. You know it'd be true.
But anybody else, not so much.
You piece of crap.
These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. Laughter. Gotta have some laughter. And we're going to do it right now with the 4 o'clock fluffer. Mark?
Stan.
Everyone.
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Hi.
When we were children, and it came time to eat vegetables, we simply did what we were told.
Mm-hmm.
There was no negotiation or bribing. It was just you do this or face the consequences. And that was a big word, and I didn't know what it meant, but I wanted no part of it.
Right.
Because it sounded bad. Nowadays, the most popular way for parents to get their kids to eat vegetables is by bribing them with junk food.
Doesn't work.
Which brings us to today's list of the
top
signs your child is coddled.
Top signs your child is coddled.
When you tell her to use her words, she says, "Now, damn it."
That's cold, Jay.
His puppy has a puppy.
Yeah. Don't lay down.
You put your chemotherapy on hold because she needs a new iPad.
It's going to be the best year ever.
Mom, that's such cat.
You have a one-car garage, and it's used exclusively for his big wheel. The last time you suggested that she might want to do a chore, she immediately called Child Protective Services. The only time you ever told him no was when he asked if you were worthy enough to be his parent.
She freaked out and cried like a baby.
Your little girl sends you to timeout. And finally, the very top sign, your child is coddled.
Yes.
He thinks it's okay to slap stand-up comedians.
30 years of blah, 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 where has that led us?
It's horrible.
It's horrifying.
It's stupid.
I'm telling you, this Will Smith, Chris Rock thing?
Yeah.
Janet Jackson level.
Oh, yeah.
Elvis has left the building.
That's it, baby.
Email ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
You want to do it again?
Sure. Ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
Sit down.
All right, Dan.
This is, Haney and I should sit down and talk to Junior, but often we can't because he hates us. But Scott, our buddy Scott,
who knows too much,
has put together just a phenomenal email. And maybe coming from him, and he words it so well, that this will help the situation in some way, shape, or form. And remember, Junior, he's doing it out of love. Out of love. Hey, guys. I'm sorry that Junior is so sensitive. It seems like something happens and then this show can't be all the way fun for a number of days because there's this cloud of sensitivity hanging over it that is palatable.
I just got my 830.
I know.
And you can actually hear it through the radio. Please stop being so sensitive, Junior. It accomplishes nothing and it's unfounded. At the very least, 96.1% of this audience loves you being a part of the show. Come on, Junior. I've been listening to this show for almost 25 years now, and you are one of the most entertaining members that has ever been a part of it, and I hope you continue to be. So, Junior, dust off that shoulder and get back to business. You should let Stan and Haney continue the evaluation process that was started last week. You know why? Because it's probably going to grade out better than your own self-evaluation did, and it turned into what? A pity party about halfway through it. Love you guys, Junior, too. Haters gonna hate, Junior. It really has nothing to do with you. Signed, Scott. P.S. I think this dumpster fire of an administration may go down as being one of the worst moments in human history. Yes, I agree. And I want to thank Will Smith and Chris Rock for a brief reprieve. And did you guys see that Alec Baldwin couldn't help but commenting on it? What a joke. Signed, Scott. Guardian, I'll get to yours tomorrow. Nice Maxine Waters story.
Jesus.
The comment about the administration, and I'm being totally honest here. I'm not trying to be a smartass. I knew it would be bad.
But not this bad.
But this is, it's shocking.
Whew. But still, 40, I want to know who the 40, 45% of people that think he's doing a good job, where are they?
What?
Oh, have you seen the poll? 45% approve, 55 disapprove.
I think it's down to 41 today.
Yeah. Where are they? Who are they? Our question of the week is next.
Well, probably business associates.
Stan and Haney.
Sizzle and hizzle in the after hizzle on 96K Rizzle. That's right, we're quite hip, but on the sharp cutting edge of 1999.
Bitch.
Well, it's more serrated than sharp, but it gets the job done.
Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us. 30 minutes away from Mark Haney and the news. We'll get you updated here on traffic in just a second, but it's Thursday, and that means question of the week time. So what I'll do is I'll pose to you our question of the week. It should trigger something in your brain, especially this one. Then we'll go do some traffic, give you a chance to pick up the phone and call us. We'll send it around the horn and then take your phone calls. You have the right answer. 277-9600. I'll let you know when I release the phones. Got to pose the question first. Here's our question of the week. You have the answer. Love to hear from you. Phone interaction. It is often said by psychologists and experts that the happiest time of a person's life is their high school years. From 14, 15 to 18. In what decade were you in high school? What were your high school years? In your high school years, what decade were you in high school? And what made that time better than today? That's our question of the week. What decade were your high school years? And what made that time better than today? As a matter of fact, we'll even subset it. Were you a kid of the early 80s, high school kid, mid, late 80s? And what made that time better than today? 277-9600. In what decade were your high school years? And what made that time better than today? 277-9600, our question of the week. Traffic brought to you by Firehouse Subs, 3 Lee County locations, Fort Myers and Cape Coral. Just one thing on the board right now. It's in Lehigh Acres, got a crash. Sunshine Boulevard South and 23rd Street Southwest. And you are up to date. Another traffic update right before Mark Haney and the news. Phone lines are busy. Know that when we finish with a caller, it frees open a line, so we want to hear from you. Question of the week. In what decade were your high school years, and what made that time better than today? My high school years were mid to late 70s. Graduated in 1980, June of 1980. And I think, and I don't know that, I think we're in agreement, Haney. In that time, personally, the music was great. Rock lived.
Unbelievable.
Rock lived.
Every week there was something massive coming out.
A kid my age could get a muscle car at a reasonable price, and it ran on regular gas. And we had a lot more freedom than kids today, I think. There was a lot less supervision, whether it's at school or exploring on your own. You were told to go outside and don't come home.
There was more of an attitude of, hey, you know, kids will be kids, boys will be boys, they'll be fine.
I mean, I'm looking at, again, mid to late 70s for me in high school. If I wanted to come to school with a pocket knife or something to my keychain, I could. We didn't have metal detectors. And you did get that. I had my uncle Monte Carlo, 72 Monte Carlo, with the Jensen triaxle speakers and the turbo thrusher mufflers on there that I could afford. And the music was great. That's me. What about you? Now, you're a little bit younger than I am, so I guess you cross over from the late 70s, early 80s?
Well, my situation is atypical.
But we're looking at that age window, high school years.
I should have been class of 84. I actually graduated high school, and I think 82.
So technically late 70s, but chronologically early 80s.
Yeah, like I said, I should have been class of 84, but I graduated in 82.
What made that time better than today?
Bitchin' Camaro.
Yeah.
Jensen triaxles.
Yep.
Realistic 40-watt booster, 5-band EQ.
There was just...
And I had a Jensen deck, too.
And it was just a time where drinking age was 18, and you always knew somebody that could go to the package store and get you a six-pack of beer.
Yeah.
And you didn't abuse it. You didn't go and hurt anybody. And you're lucky you survived it.
And the girls.
The late 70s. Era of the tube top. Junior?
Do I have to say it again, young lady? No bare midriffs.
Halter tops, tube tops, and hot shorts.
Remember when they'd always come out with all these dress code rules, and I couldn't help but notice they didn't have a thing to do with me.
Nope. Junior.
Well, I was class of 2012.
So you were a high school student of the late aughts in the early teens, or double digits.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Do you think times were better then than they are today?
Oh, yeah. I didn't have to worry about bills or anything. The women were coming at me. It was
great. Well, you looked different,
too. I looked good, you know?
They were coming at you, so you had to keep pushing them back?
Yeah, there was too many. Yeah, there was too many. You know? And then I just missed, like, all my friends and stuff and just getting wild.
You know what? And that's another thing. Whatever decade, friendships were important.
Very. Oh, your buds.
Your buds, man.
What are you doing this weekend?
Yeah. 277-9600. In what decade were your high school years, and that time better than it is today?
And I forgot, playing in crappy bands.
There you go. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, Stanley. Jeff down in beautiful Naples, Florida.
Jeff, what decade were your high school years, and what made that time better than today?
Well, I graduated the Bicentennial, so 76, so you and I are kind of close. Grew up in Michigan, so you know what I remember, though? So when you're a really young kid, like 6, 7, 8, I remember neighbors being in my house when my parents, when I'd walk in the door, because we didn't lock the door. And, hell, there's my neighbor in the house.
You know what? I mean, we didn't lock the doors. And, of course, if you graduated in 76, you were early to mid-70s high school guy. We didn't lock the doors, but I know for a fact my old man would not tolerate our next door neighbor walking into our house.
Yeah, well, they're pretty. See, everybody, that's another thing about them. Everybody knew everybody on the block. Today,
lucky
if you know the guy across the street.
I agree with you on that.
Everybody knew everybody. Yeah.
Everybody on your street, in your neighborhood, everybody knew everybody. Now, there were some you didn't talk to or associate with, but you
but
knew
you know
who
what?
They were.
That is, and I'm thinking, you know, way before high school, but when I was a little kid, you know, walking back and forth to school, I can't tell you how many times that Mrs. So-and-so would go, "Are you all right?"
Oh, they'd keep an eye out for you.
Are you sure?
Listen, I can't imagine Haney as a little kid. He's always, in my mind, a man of the world. It's just like, here's Haney.
Well, that's going back to when I was a totally different person. Back then, I was Marky Boy Genius.
Oh, jeez.
Don't even get people started.
277-9600. In what decade were your high school years, and what made that time better than today?
Did you really just say, "Don't even get started, you little bunny"?
Just call me a little bunny? What the hell does that
mean?
That's how you self-identify.
As a little bunny?
Yeah, because I'm a bunny being hunted. There's always a target on my back.
I got other ways to describe it, and it ain't a bunny.
You know what my Indian guy's name was?
Well, hold on, caller. Wait, what?
Brave Wolf.
Ahoy, who's this?
Bunny.
Ahoy, Stan. It's Rick. How you doing?
Nick, in what decade were your high school years, and what made that time better than today for you?
1970 to 1974. I happen to think the music was the best, like 68 to when I graduated in 74.
You were going through a lot of change, though, in high school at that time. The Vietnam War was raging.
You probably weren't in a hurry to graduate.
Yeah, the college protesters were making the news every night, and that was that was a big time of change in this country.
Yeah, the draft ended my senior year. I was number 13.
Oh, so you had a number.
Yeah, also, you had Watergate. You started with the race riots and Vietnam and ended my high school with Watergate. So it was interesting.
It's going to take a while to come out, but a lot of Watergate was BS.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm a conspiracy theorist about all of that, and I know what the 18-and-a-half-minute gap was. 277.
Then you know that there's no way anybody could have seen a plant on Bob Woodward's windowsill. It faced towards the courtyard.
There were multiple, and that was not true. 277-9600.
Yeah, but every hook, line, and sinker.
Yep. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, Stan. Christoph from Inglewood. How are you?
Christoph, I'm doing well. In what decade were your high school years, and what made that time better than today?
Early 80s. I graduated in 83. I'm with Haney. I'm 56, so I think we're in the same group there as far as the timeline.
Yep.
Loved the rock and roll back then. The little bonfires, hanging out at 7-Eleven after school and whatnot. I went to school with Michael Jordan, Laney High School in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Oh, really?
And he graduated, I believe, in 81. He was a basketball star. They went off to Chapel Hill. I was a good soccer player and whatever. We had a good sports program. But one thing I want to bring up is that the blacks and the whites got along great. The most popular couple was the black girl and the white guy. He was varsity football. Nope. There didn't seem to be any kind of racial tensions back in the 80s. We figured out.
I don't disagree with you.
Things seemed pretty good until about 2008.
Yeah. I mean, nobody. Grant, if you went back to the 60s. And early 70s, maybe there was something. But I'm telling you,
things were getting better and better every year incrementally. And then it all changed.
277-9600. In what decade were your high school years? And what made that time better than today? Ahoy, who's this?
This is John in Naples.
John, what decade was your high school years?
Late 1990s, and no social media.
Yeah, oh,
no,
you
that was
just lucked out.
Think about that. And that was, it's amazing how,
last generation.
Yeah, Haney and I managed with no social media, thank God.
Very good thing.
Very good thing.
Although, who knows? You've known me a long time.
Yeah.
If I had all of today's tools available to me early on.
But I'm talking about a high school teenage brain. And yes, you can put some of it to good use. You can put some of it to bad use.
It's a huge double-edged sword.
But, I was a grown adult before I thought, would it be a good idea to get a cell phone?
You and I both. We used to have to, after we got divorced, we used to have to carry beepers around.
Yep. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, what's going on? It's Doug from Fort Myers.
Doug, in what decade were your high school years?
So, just like the last caller, I was 2002. And that's when I first got my Nextel cell phone with a beep beep. You remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like a two-way.
Yeah, exactly. So, my whole family had that. That was kind of one of the things. I was on the football team. High school was great, man. That was definitely my glory years right there, for sure.
And a better time than
that
today.
With Nextel, though, it's like your mom had a rope around your neck and could get you any time.
Yeah, for sure. And I heard it, and you know that chirp, for sure.
Yep. the thing was, and that's how it was different back in the 70s. I remember my sisters going out on a date and always make sure they had at least a phone call, a dime in their pocket to make a phone call if they had to. And they had to call from wherever they were at on a landline to the landline in the house. Where are they and what are they doing? No cell phones. And yeah, payphone was a dime. Remember when it went up to a quarter?
I wonder if what look a kid would give you if you just simply said, go play.
Yeah. Because that's what we had to do.
What do you mean?
You know, and I don't remember causing a lot of trouble, too. I'd be working on my car. You know, my free time. Didn't have a lot of free time when I was in high school. But I utilized it.
I didn't have high school or free time.
Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, Stan, this is Ron.
Hey, Ron. Hey, your youngest son called the other day.
Yeah, he told you about the beer business,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, he did.
I thought that was his older
no.
son.
No. Oh, was it
your older son.
Okay, so it was your younger son that put my air conditioning in that time, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was your attic rat for a little while there.
What about now? What decade was your high school years, Ron?
Graduated in 73, so I lived in Fort Myers all my life, and we used to be able to go out in the boat and ski on the river, and actually there were no houses in the canals in Cape Coral, and we could ski in the Cape Coral canals where the water was calm.
You know
and
what?
It was awesome.
I'll tell you this, and this was in the early 80s. Had a friend of mine who had a boat, and we would go water skiing over on the Melbourne side in the canals there, and you could get your water skis, and it was in that brackish water over on the east coast.
You talking Banana River?
And you could go in a straight line for miles skiing.
Sir.
And it was awesome.
Always calm, and on those rough days in the river, we'd go back there and we'd actually camp out, and the heights of the ground was so high that nobody could see we were down there. And we'd camp out and hang out all night, then get up and ski again in the morning.
Oh, God, that sounds great.
Those are some great memories.
And there was Jerry's Restaurant, was a stock hop kind of place where you could drive up and get your food, and all the muscle cars would just ride through there and then park at the American Variety Store parking lot and show everybody all their motors and stuff. It was cool. It's
now, let me ask you this, because I know you. In your high school years, were you already a black belt?
Yes. I started at that time.
That's also. People didn't mess with you too much because they knew around the high school, he's a black belt.
Oh, BS. He ain't no black belt.
Yeah, I'm not going to try him. I'm not going to go.
I'll go.
You know that was the case. You know that, and they knew exactly what you were.
Yes, sir. But I was calm.
See you later, buddy.
He's probably a very calming influence.
Yeah. Oh, that guy, don't mess with him. He is a black belt.
But there's always one guy.
There's always one. And yeah, and the true discipline in that, and Ron was like that. It was like, you don't go and boast about it. You don't go and brag about it. But don't come at me. Don't come at me. Because he could probably take that little pinky finger on you and turn it.
Make you look foolish with minimal effort.
Make you cry like a woman. If you'd like to answer our question of the week, email us, please. In what decade were your high school years, and what made that time better than today? Ahoy at stanandhaney.com. When we come back, Mark Caney in the news. We're Stan and Haney.
Tempt your taste buds with tantalizing tacos from around the globe. Stan and Haney's International Tacos is here, with locations throughout the Tri-County area. Tacos aren't just from Mexico anymore, so Stan and Haney invite you to eat Stan and Haney's International Tacos. Try our taco tortellini, taco teriyaki, corned beef and cabbage quesadilla, and more. One bite and you'll know it tastes like Stan and Haney's International Tacos, or for short. It's so easy to remember. Just think of the initials, Stan and Haney's International Tacos. Visit our website at sht.com. Call us in Lee at 334-SHT, in Collier 775-SHT. Just remember, Stan and Haney's International Tacos.
Try us once, and you'll know what it tastes like.
I want you to put your hands together and welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause.
Stan and Amy.
Yes!
Hey, everybody. This is the Stan and Haney program. My name is Stan. There's my friend, my pal, my amigo, muchacho, Mark Haney. Junior doing something that isn't related to the show in the other room. We're going to get you updated on traffic.
Break.
It is. We're going to get you updated on traffic for your drive home. We'll have Mark Haney in the news. 6 o'clock, Al Beck will take things over to take you through your Thursday night. But yeah, let's get you updated. It's a little busy out there right now with traffic. It's brought to you by Firehouse Subs, 3 Lee County locations, Fort Myers and Cape Coral. We'll start in North Fort Myers. Got a disabled vehicle. Woodward Avenue and Pine Island Road. Fort Myers. Crash. Bass Road and Gladiolus Drive. Fort Myers. Crash. 7,000 block of Winkler Road. What else I got here? Oh, we got a couple in Lehigh Acres here, too. Disabled vehicle. Leland Heights Boulevard West and Michigan Road. And a crash in Lehigh Acres, Palm Boulevard and Alabama Road South. And in Bonita, a crash, 11,000 block of Bonita Beach Road Southeast. And you are up to date. We'll have one more traffic update for you in about 20, 25 minutes. Mark Haney and the News, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. Starts right now.
There was a time before cable, when the local anchorman reigned supreme, when people believed everything they heard. This was an age when only men were allowed to read the news. One anchorman was more man than the rest.
Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr. And suits so fine they made Sinatra look like a hobo. In other words,
Mark Haney
was the balls.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Thursday, March 31st.
Double M, double X, double I.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Time now for Things You Didn't Know. You know, folks, I'm beginning to think that there's no one truly in charge and no one really knows what they're doing. And if things somehow go well, it's an accident.
Yep. It's in spite of our actions.
Yes. Because everybody loves bubble wrap.
Who doesn't? Pop that stuff.
You pop that stuff, it keeps things safe while they're in transit.
I know when we moved last summer, rolls of bubble wrap.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure the people that invented it hopefully got a piece of it at least.
Yep.
But the bubble wrap that we know and love, it never occurred to them that it would make good packing material. They were laser focused on making what they called 3D wallpaper.
What? What?
The idea never took off.
I wonder why. You know what? You get into a scuffle and you bump up against that 3D wallpaper. It starts popping. Then somebody thinks you got a gun.
It's a sound thinking,
yeah,
Stan.
Yeah, that's me.
But eventually somebody realized, hey, guys, chin's up, man. Now I know our dream about 3D wallpaper isn't going to work. But you know what could work? Maybe a humbler existence for our product. But a useful one.
Yeah.
This would make tremendous packing material. Oh, I don't want to hear about it, Gary.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear about it. I want to get back on the wallpaper.
Get back on track.
So maybe Gary is the only one that got rich. Stan, how tall is your cat?
I don't know how tall it is.
How high off the ground is that fella
go? I don't know.
Go?
Maybe at walking 8 inches, 9 inches off the ground from foot to back. Foot to back, nine inches. That sounds about right.
I'm talking about more from head to the ground.
Oh, let's add an extra 2 inches, 10 inches.
So 10 inches to a foot.
All right, let's say a foot.
A grown cat can jump between 5 and 8 times its height.
Oh, I'll tell you. If the cat, if we go through the front door and there's a bug that gets into the house and it's up by the top of the door, that cat can leap.
To put that in perspective, if you and I had equivalent capabilities.
Yeah.
We would be able to jump from the ground up to the third floor comfortably.
Right on. Have to change the rules of basketball.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah, you would.
No.
What do you mean?
No, they just space jam it.
Jeez. Yeah, okay.
Are you talk about now, wouldn't it make sense to raise the rim with all these gargantuan athletes? Wouldn't it make sense?
Well, they thought that about Wilt Chamberlain when he played. He was your first seven-footer.
He was one man. Now there's a league of them.
Yep. But he actually made them change the rules. Here's a little trick for you. If you ever want to go down a rabbit hole, go and look at old NBA footage, and you will see that, you know how the announcer will go, and from the top of the key, it's good. The lane underneath the basket all the way to the free throw line in that half circle, that's the key. Originally, it was shaped like a key with a small little lane in there, but old Wilt could straddle that lane and avoid a 3-second call on defense. And so they said, well, the only thing we can do is make it wider because of Wilt the Stilt. And they changed the way the court looks because he used it to his advantage.
They said they were going to change the rules when Showboat Shaq decided to break the backboard.
Yep. Well, the first one that did that was Chocolate Thunder himself, Daryl Dawkins.
Yeah, but he didn't know his own strength.
No, he didn't.
Shaq knew what he was doing.
Shaq knew exactly what he was doing. It was Dawkins that, after he broke a couple of them, they had to put the little lever on the rim to the plexiglass because he had just shattered one.
And he didn't know.
He didn't understand his own strength.
No. I mean, he was pretty much a child then, wasn't
he? It came right out of high school.
Well, I think the cats win the day between the cats and the dogs. We know that dogs don't have a great short-term memory. We know this because we'll tell them not to do something, and they'll stop because they want to please us. But you wait a little while, and they'll go right back to it. Do I have to tell you again?
Yep.
You do. On average, dogs have a short-term memory span of 2 minutes or less.
That's, you know what? Better than some adults I know. I'm looking at one now.
Stan, you're a self-confessed yo-yo dieter.
Yes, I am.
You've tried pretty much every diet out there.
Yep.
And congratulations on 30 pounds.
Thank you.
And I'm sure that among the many diets that you've tried over the years, I remember hearing about this being very popular because they do all these studies about how people in Italy and Greece tend to live very long lives, and so here comes the Mediterranean sure. heart-healthy diet.
I think that's still a pretty popular diet, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I don't know what they're doing over there, but the rate of childhood obesity is highest in Greece.
What?
With 44% of boys being overweight.
Bunch of big pigs.
Italy, New Zealand, and Slovenia are next, with the United States in fifth at 30%. The only one on that list I don't blame, Slovenia, because they've only had food for about 30 years.
That's right, and they're stocking up.
Yeah.
And, eat it. If it's there, eat it.
And that's based on experience, yeah. hard-won experience.
Yep.
What, you're not going to eat that? You ungrateful yep. little... Do you know?
Yeah. You know what? You ask a lot of fat people. They were deprived food.
Yeah.
What? I noticed again you were on the phone, too.
We had a not necessarily call in.
Great.
You know what?
Oh, even texted in, too.
What? I don't want to know. I don't care. It not necessarily. Don't cut it in my book.
This is for entertainment purposes.
Yeah, entertainment.
Only.
Oh.
Not necessarily. Let me go to the blackboard and show you right now. I got a diagram.
If you throw in a variable, then you'll see the statement doesn't hold true.
So I will stick to my original guns and say, not necessarily.
Shut up.
So, in a moment.
Hi, I'm Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill?
I think I've seen that one.
But I think it would be a good thing for tomorrow. That would explain why we don't engage.
All right. You want me to read the article?
Sure. Or I can.
Yeah.
Or
all right.
Maybe give Junior a moment in the sun. He's really good at it.
Yeah.
Now what? How do I deserve that?
He just flipped you off.
With both fingers.
Yeah.
I just said you're good at reading stuff.
It was sarcastic.
How do you know that?
I hear it in your voice.
What if it wasn't?
Yeah.
Well, then thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Okay, so kind. Do you take back the double flip?
I don't know anymore.
Okay. Sorry about that, folks. The good people over at Dyson Vacuum Cleaners, and it makes perfect sense, have decided to put out a line of headphones.
At Dyson.
Dyson yeah. headphones.
Yeah. Sennheiser, AKGs, Dyson.
And yes, that may seem odd, since they're known for making vacuum cleaners, air purifiers, and fans. But, folks, these aren't your standard headphones. I think I'll get a pair just to annoy Stan.
Please don't.
They're called the Dyson Zone Air Purifying Noise Canceling Headphones.
What?
And their headphones... old-fashioned big headphones like yeah. we're wearing with a built-in mask across the nose and the mouth.
This has got to be an April Fool's joke. Has got to be.
Now, this is no flimsy COVID-19 mask. It's like a visor that rests in front of your face, delivering clean, purified air without making contact with your mouth. More like a football helmet than anything else. And they say it's not meant to protect you from COVID. Instead, it was designed to filter out allergens, pollutants, and other particulates. The visor is removable, although wouldn't that defeat the point? And it has 4 air purification settings. Now, you know what the settings are.
High, medium, and low?
Nope. Poor, good, better, best.
Just out of curiosity for this April Fool's thing that's going to really get them a lot of attention, does it say on the ad that I see there how much they are? Does it say how much these Dyson headphones with air what? I can't even believe I'm saying it. We got a price tag on it? Or are they preventing people from ordering it tomorrow because they're really not getting anything? You may as well just keep doing the news, Haney.
I can't find a price.
He's like a gerbil on a wheel.
But what if they get a ton of orders? They'll make them.
There's no order form. There's no way to order it.
Let's move on.
Please. Like just like a gerbil on the wheel.
What is?
Him trying to find a price on the thing. You know, we're live. We got to go to the next story.
You know, there are only so many double flips in a day before it loses all meaning.
Yeah, I'm numb to it.
And I'm not an attorney.
No, nor do you play one on the radio.
But I believe I have a basic understanding of the justice system. And if you're under the age of 8 years old, a pinky swear is legally binding.
I think in the Continental 48.
Yes. Over the age of 8, I don't think it's considered a binding contract. A 22-year-old man in Ohio was walking down the street last Sunday night, minding his own business, when all of a sudden a guy in a ski mask walked up and robbed him.
Ooh.
The mugger asked the guy, who again was minding his own business, if he was a drug dealer. Evidently, wrong answer, because when the guy said, no, I'm not a drug dealer, ski mask pulled a knife.
Ooh.
He stole $80 from the guy and rode off on a bicycle.
Boy, I hope he feels better for that, huh?
But before leaving, he forced the robbery victim to pinky promise he wouldn't call the cops on him. The man obviously ignored that sacred oath. But then again, police haven't found the mugger either. It was dark out. He was wearing a mask. They don't hold out much hope.
No, of course not.
Ever finding him.
Absolutely.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, you know, we've heard a lot about the job market from the talking heads on television, and a case can be made for anything.
Yes, yes.
But here's something we know. A woman in New York evidently applied for several different jobs. She was job hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know what the job is, but she did get a text reply from one potential employer. The text read as follows. Hey, Jasmine. I'm just following up on our paperwork appointment from Monday.
That's a nice name, Jasmine, by the way.
Are you still interested in the position, you piece of crap?
What? What?
Now, I don't know Jasmine personally, but nice, she seems like the type that doesn't take no sass.
How did it end again?
Are you still interested in the position, you piece of crap? The person who sent it claimed it must have been a misspelled word.
Sure.
So he's saying maybe it was an autocorrect mistake?
Is it?
The other theory is that maybe they were using voice to text, which is a very poor idea. That's autocorrect on steroids.
Yeah.
The theory is that maybe they were in the car or something and yelling at another driver.
No, I think it might be autocorrect where he's saying, are you cool with that?
Are you still interested in the position, you piece of crap?
You cool with that? I think, I don't know.
Well,
either way, it shouldn't be done that way.
Regardless, Jasmine trusted that little voice inside
sure.
and opted not to take the job in the end. She explained it was a minimum wage job anyway.
Come on. Yeah, come on.
Why take a chance? Interested in the position, you piece of crap? Well, you get off on the right foot. You know what you're getting into. And that's the news for today, Thursday, March 31st.
Double M, double X, double I.
I am Southwest Florida's something early.
Here he is, little Monkey Haney, telling it like it is.
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news this afternoon. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. We're Stan and Haney. 96 K-Rock.
A soothing waterfall of character flaws, coupled with the bitter taste of harsh judgment. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you so much for spending your Thursday with us. Greatly appreciated. Al Beck coming up at 6 o'clock. Let's get one more look at traffic for your drive home this afternoon. It's brought to you by Firehouse Subs, 3 Lee County locations, Fort Myers and Cape Coral. All right, a couple of things on the board. Fort Myers got a disabled vehicle, South Gulf Coast Lane and Metro Parkway. And in Bonita, a crash, 12,000 block of Bonita Beach Road. Right by Cardtronics USA. And you are up to date.
Today on Before They Were Famous.
Used to love this.
I know what you want. Cell phone.
Classic comedy brought to you by Best Home Services. Appointments available now.
GetBest.com.
I got a couple of new Southern words for you. First one, mayonnaise. Mayonnaise, a lot of people here tonight. Here's one you will hear in Tennessee. With you, did you? You didn't bring your truck with you, did you? And last but not least, innuendo. Hey, dude, I saw a bird fly innuendo. And sometimes it's not a word. It can be like a little phrase. Like I was talking to my brother a couple of weeks ago, and there was a guy working on his refrigerator. And I asked my brother, I said, did they figure out what was wrong with it? And my brother said, yeah. He said, the guy just told me the motor was burnt slap up. I said, now what's the difference between burned up and burnt slap up? And my brother said, I don't know, but I think burnt slap-up's going to cost me more money.
Have yourselves a great evening. Lord willing, we're back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We'll do it all over again. Big Friday show. We're the Stan and Haney Show, 96K Rock. And we leave you this afternoon with this. What decade were your high school years? And what made that time better than today? As a matter of fact, we'll even subset it. Were you a kid of the early 80s, high school kid, mid, late 80s? And what made that time better than today? Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, Stanley. Jeff down in beautiful Naples, Florida.
Jeff, what decade were your high school years and what made that time better than today?
Well, I graduated the Bicentennial, so 76, so you and I are kind of close. Grew up in Michigan, so you know what I remember, though? So when you're a really young kid, like 6, 7, 8, I remember neighbors being in my house when my parents, when I'd walk in the door, because we didn't lock the door. And, hell, there's my neighbor in the house.
You know what? I mean, we didn't lock the doors. And, of course, if you graduated in 76, you were early to mid-70s high school guy. We didn't lock the doors, but I know for a fact my old man would not tolerate our next door neighbor walking into our house.
Yeah, well, they're pretty. See, everybody, that's another thing about them. everybody knew everybody on the block. Today,
oh, yeah.
If you know the guy across the street.
I agree with you on that.
Everybody knew everybody. Yeah.
Everybody on your street, in your neighborhood, everybody knew everybody. Now, there were some you didn't talk to or associate with, but you
but
knew
you know
who
what?
They were.
That is, and I'm thinking, you know, way before high school, but when I was a little kid, you know, walking back and forth to school, I can't tell you how many times that Mrs. So-and-so would go, "Are you all right?"
Oh, they'd keep an eye out for you.
Are you sure?
See, but listen, I can't imagine Haney as a little kid. He's always, in my mind, a man of the world. It's just like, here's Haney.
Well, I was, that's going back to when I was a totally different person. Back then, I was Marky Boy Genius.
Oh, jeez.
Don't even get people started.
277-9600. In what decade were your high school years, and what made that time better than today?
Did you really just say, "Don't even get started, you little bunny"?
Just call me a little bunny? What the hell does that
mean? Can I go?
That's how you self-identify.
As a little bunny?
Yeah, because I'm a bunny being hunted. There's always a target on my back.
I got other ways to describe it, and it ain't a bunny.
You know what my Indian guide's name was?
Well, hold on, caller. Wait, what?
Brave Wolf.
Ahoy, who's this?
This is John in Naples.
John, what decade was your high school years?
Late 1990s, and no social media.
Yeah. Oh,
oh,
you
that was
just lucked out.
Think about that. And that was, you know, it's amazing how, yeah.
Last generation.
Yeah, Haney and I managed with no social media, thank God.
Very good thing. You've known me a long time.
Yeah.
If I had all of today's tools available to me early on.
But I'm talking about a high school teenage brain. And yes, you can put some of it to good use. You can put some of it to bad use.
It's a huge double-edged sword.
But, I mean, I was a grown adult before I thought, would it be a good idea to get a cell phone?
You and I both. We used to have to, after we got divorced, we used to have to carry beepers around.
Yep. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, Stan, this is Ron.
Hey, Ron. Hey, your youngest son called the other day.
Yeah, he told you about the beer business,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, he did.
I thought that was his older son.
No. Oh, was it your
older son.
Okay, so it was your younger son that put my air conditioning in that time, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was your attic rat for a little while there.
What about now? What decade was your high school years, Ron?
Graduated in 73, so I lived in Fort Myers all my life, and we used to be able to go out in the boat and ski on the river, and actually there were no houses in the canals in Cape Coral, and we could ski in the Cape Coral canals where the water was calm.
You know
and
what?
It was awesome.
I'll tell you this, and this was in the early 80s. Had a friend of mine who had a boat, and we would go water skiing over on the Melbourne side in the canals there, and you could get your water skis, and it was in that brackish water over on the east coast.
You're talking Banana River?
And you could go in a straight line for miles skiing.
Sir.
And it was awesome.
Always calming on those rough days in the river. We'd go back there and we'd actually camp out, and the heights of the ground was so high that nobody could see we were down there. And we'd camp out and hang out all night, then get up and ski again in the morning.
Oh, God, that sounds great.
Those are some great memories.
And there was Jerry's Restaurant, was a stock hop kind of place where you could drive up and get your food, and all the muscle cars would just ride through there and then park at the American Variety Store parking lot, show everybody all their motors and stuff. It was cool. It's
now, let me ask you this, because I know you. In your high school years, were you already a black belt?
Yes.
I just started
at that time.
That's also. People didn't mess with you too much because they knew around the high school, he's a black belt.
Oh, BS. He ain't no black belt.
Yeah, I'm not going to try him. I'm not going to go.
I'll go.
You know that was the case. You know that, and they knew exactly what you were.
Yes, sir. But I was calm.
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day's a gift. 96 K-Rock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.